We're going to read tonight, and I pored over these scriptures a good bit today while I had a chance to be at home by myself, and I trust that the Lord will help us tonight. 1 John, that's before 2 John. 1 John, amen. 1 John chapter 3 tonight, and we may back up and read another verse in previous chapter, but we want to start first of all in 1 John chapter 3, and want to start at verse 2. Amen. Praise God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Isn't that wonderful? And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We're going to turn back and read out chapter 2 there in just a moment. But if you just take notice while we were reading there, how many times the word sin or sins are mentioned in those few verses. The word sin simply means missing the mark. That's all it means, just missing the mark. So, whosoever committeth sin, that is, you miss the mark, transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Let's go back to chapter 2. Y'all think I'm going to preach on sin tonight, but you got another thought coming. I just wanted to insert that there so I wouldn't lose that thought. Chapter 2 and verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15, which everybody at some point in time have either read it, or heard it quoted, or preached about. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, are you all listening to what he's saying here? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. Just look at part of verse 18, little children. It is the last times. Amen. All right, you may be seated. I want to talk to you tonight on a strange subject. Might be a little odd for Tuesday night service, but that's all right. I want to talk to you about the influence of trends and fads. The influence of trends and fads. And fads. Flads. But get that straight, hadn't I? On the influence of trends and fads on our spiritual progress. Amen. A little unusual text or subject for tonight, but I feel like that's what the Lord has laid on our hearts today. I really believe that we are probably in the most difficult time in this American Pentecostal church world that we've ever had to deal with problems. I remember hearing our greater men of the bygone years when I was a boy preaching, and they said these days would come. But really, it never dawned on us as young people then that we would live to see these days that they were talking about. Let me give you Webster's Dictionary of trend. Amen. It is a line of general direction or movement. You know, variation. Hello. A prevailing tendency or inclination, drifting in a certain direction, the general movement in the course of time. Synonym to the word trend is tendency. Tendency. Well, we have a lot of tendencies that pushes us in certain directions. I'm going to take my time tonight. Y'all not going nowhere, neither am I. So we are here for the duration. Amen. The word fad, as a noun, means a practice or interest followed for a time with exaggerated zeal, a craze. Amen. Synonym to that is fashion or faddish. Well, I know y'all are trying to rack your brain of what direction we're going tonight, but I feel like that we are being inundated in our Pentecostal movement about trends that are not conducive to Christian conduct and behavior. And it's not that that the trend in and of itself is so terribly wrong or sinful, but it's the end result of where it leads to. Amen. I don't want to sound to be overbearing tonight or sound like I'm a smart aleck, because I don't feel that way at all. I feel an awesome responsibility to stand here and try to give some direction for our church people, knowing that what I say has an effect upon whether you go to heaven or hell. And I sure don't want your blood on my hands when I stand before God. There's a growing attitude in the church world, and I face this almost continually. There's a growing attitude that my opinion is just as important, or just as, are y'all still here? Just as good as anybody else's. And you follow that mentality or that opinion, and nobody seems to really believe or have confidence in the ministry. The ministry is suffering. Now, I'll be the first to tell you that there are many ministers and ministries that has failed in our time and brought a reproach on the gospel. Hello here. Absolutely, positively true. And it seems like it's a growing epidemic of our time. But I want to tell you, not everybody's gone sour. God still got some good men. God still got some holy men. And when I realize the tendency of this dispensation of time, that people in the church world feel like that their opinion is just as good as the preacher's, and they totally ignore that that preacher is the representative of God. He's ordained of God to lead the people in truth. And as a result, amen, of this attitude, everything nowadays has become a gray area. It's not black and it's not white to people. It's a mixed up world. It is a confused mentality of our time. Amen. Come on, I want y'all to say with me tonight. People, amen, are willing to say amen to the preacher as long as he's preaching where somebody else is living, or what somebody else is doing, or how somebody else is acting. But when it comes down to where they are, amen, the mentality is, well, I just don't see it that way. Amen. But it's not, come on here, it's not, amen, just what you and I think. It's what the book says. Amen. Amen. There is a definite line of demarcation, amen, that God has laid down in his word. Amen. And some people don't believe that, and they think that their line is just as good as anybody else's. And they've come to the position where apostate Israel was, and I think I might have mentioned this Sunday morning in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Amen. Amen. I've pastored here for 32 years. Y'all pretty well know me. You know where I stand on the issues, and so I don't have to deal with a lot of issues because you know where I'm at on it. Are y'all still with me? But sometimes we have good men come by and preach one night or preach revival. Amen. And when they leave, amen, preach wonderful. But it got right down next to where somebody was. And I can almost hear them say when they leave church and get home, well, amen, he sure plowed their road tonight. Amen. And never think that God is trying to talk to them. Amen. The attitude is, just how far can we go? And how much we can indulge in and still be in the graces of the church and God. Amen. Help me here. Amen. Did you hear what the scripture said that I read to you tonight? He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. Amen. Amen. There's no concept in our time of what is spiritual and what is carnal, or feeding the appetite of the flesh. Amen. We base our lifestyle on what I think or what I feel. Amen. Rather than what God's word says and what the Spirit is dealing with our hearts. when the Holy Ghost comes into a service to draw the saints of God to prayer. Amen. We come and pray a little dab. And God bless you. I'm glad you do that. And it's needful. But I want to tell you, it's going to take more than just praying a little dab. There's got to be some changes in the life and in the heart. Amen. Amen. Ah, what is right and pleasing to God is really the most important thing in your life and in my life. It's not what makes me feel good. Amen. It's what pleases Him that has called us to be a good soldier. Amen. Amen. Ah, if the Lord had helped me tonight, just for a moment, and I'm just going to insert this because this one, I'm just going to insert this and go on because I got other things to talk about tonight. I'm just going to insert this. Why you need a preacher. Amen. Amen. And the mentality of this generation is every man does that which is right in his own eyes. If I think it's all right, it's all right. Amen. But you see, there's got to be an oversight to the work of God. Amen. Preachers that come and grace this pulpit are not coming here to preach just to beat you over the head. Amen. They're not coming here just to pick on you. 99.9% of the time, they don't even know you. They don't even know anything about you. Amen. And sure as you're born, when they get to preaching sometime, Brother Savage, you've been talking to him. I mean, amen. Brother Savage didn't say nothing, but the Holy Ghost did. Amen. And it's our responsibility, amen, to listen to what God has to say to us and to draw closer to Him. Amen. The Old Testament writer, I believe, is in Habakkuk. Chapter 3 maybe, I'm wanting to say verse 1 or 2, but verse may be not accurate there, but he said, I will watch, I will stand on my watch and see what I will say. Huh? I will stand on my watch and see. Amen. Brother Chip, won't you turn over there? I want you to read that. Amen. I want to get it right. Amen. And, that's a wonderful verse, and sometimes I have had, amen, to look at that for my own self, not because of anybody else. Amen. A few times the Lord has rebuked me. Amen. A few times God's made some mid-course corrections in my life. Amen. And touched things that I need to do better on. And you too, my friend. Amen. Are y'all still with me? Say amen. You find it there, Brother Chip? I know 3-1, I believe it is. 2-1. Ah, the ladies already beat you to it, but read it there, Chip. I will stand upon my watch. Yes. Uh-huh. Ah. Amen. I will stand on my watch and see what he says to me, and then what I'm going to say in response when I am reproved. Amen. Did you know that the Bible is good for doctrine, for reproof? Amen. Are y'all still with me? Amen. That's what God's book is for, is to give us some direction in life. Amen. And the book of Proverbs gives us instructions as well. Amen. You've heard me quote this verse many times, and I'll probably quote it many more times before I leave out of this world. Amen. Without a vision, the people perish. Without some direction. Amen. The original rendering of that, where there is no restraint, the people go wild. Amen. Where there is no foresight, you can't see what this trend is going to or leading to. And as a result, you follow the trend. Amen. When God wants you to follow His word. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen. Without a vision, without foresight. That's what that word vision means. Without that vision or foresight, the people goes backwards. Amen. They leave their first love that I preached to you about Sunday morning. Amen. Their first ways in religion they leave behind them. Amen. They fall into a spiritual decay and apostasy. Amen. The people are drawn away from God and from their sanctified life. Amen. Because the flesh wants to follow the trends and the fads of this world. Amen. Come on, stay with me here. Amen. And the mere word that people get or hear preached, amen, or read out of the Bible has brought such a condemnation to them that they erect a wall against that. Amen. Instead of listening and yielding to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, they build up a wall to where they don't want to be answerable, amen, to anybody, and they refuse to be accountable. Amen. And they just go on their own way and do what is right in their own eyes. Amen. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That word perish, amen, has been variously rendered by various writers through the years. And some writers have read it like this. Amen. Without a vision, the people will apostatize. Others have said, amen, without a vision or foresight, amen, they become naked. Others have said, amen, without a vision or foresight, amen, they are dispersed and scattered. Others have said, amen, without a vision or foresight, amen, they become disorderly. Amen. But without doubt, they all writers agree on the expression of the idea, without a foresight, there is calamity going to be the end result. Amen. Now, trends and fads may or may not be sin in and of themselves. Amen. Come on, y'all stay with me. May or may not. It depends. Any trend or fad that leads to immorality, come on here, amen, you need to stay away from. Amen. There are some things that are totally neutral, have no bearing on your spirituality whatsoever, one way or the other. Amen. Let me give you an example. Amen. You know, I wear neckties. Some preachers don't, and don't bother me if they don't. But I've got neckties, amen, that's been in and out of style for six times. Amen. I remember when the ties was real skinny. Y'all, some of you older folks got to remember that. They were real, real skinny. I mean, just the width of your finger a little more, maybe. Amen. And that was style. I remember when they got so big, they looked like a bib. Amen. My daddy had a wide tie that went plumb out here like that and had great big rows on it. Help me, Lord. I'm in trouble here tonight. But really, such things as that really is immaterial with your spiritual progress. It's neutral. Amen. God doesn't care whether your necktie is skinny or wide or whether you even have one or not. God doesn't care if your necktie is blue or red or yellow. Just hope you don't have a yellow streak going down your back. Amen. Amen. Some neckties are various shapes. Amen. The material on them goes in and out of style. I remember when they used to have that double knit stuff. That was real thick material. Man, you know, that kind of stuff really doesn't have much bearing at all on your spiritual walk with God. Amen. I remember years ago when I was in Texas, the bell-bottom trousers came out. You got to be old to remember them. I mean, it was a fad and a fashion and a tendency. Amen. The britches. Instead of coming straight down like yours does now, they bailed out at the bottom. Amen. And then, y'all stay with me here now. Then they went to no pleats in the trousers. Now, when I was a boy, amen, all trousers had pleats on them. And then they went through this fad, you know, no pleats in the boys' trousers. Now the pleats have come back. Amen. Now, dress trousers, most all dress trousers, and if you buy some that don't need to be hemmed, you take them to the alteration and they hem them and they put a cuff on them. Amen. Hadn't been very many years ago. Amen. There wasn't no cuff. Just, amen, straight bottoms. Are y'all still with me? Amen. You know, pleats on trousers or no pleats, bell-bottom trousers, three-wheelers. I remember when three-wheelers come out. Man, man. But they're dangerous, and a lot of folks got hurt on them. They finally ruled them out of existence. And amen. Now the four-wheelers are in. Amen. Or horse riding or colored shirts. I remember. Come on. Y'all stay with me here tonight. I'm going somewhere with this if y'all just listen to me. I remember when I first come to this country, way back, long time ago, amen, for most of y'all was even born, amen, all the preachers wore white shirts. All the preachers wore white shirts. I guess I come from Texas, amen, and I changed that a little bit because I was the first one that I know of that came wearing a colored shirt with a matching necktie. Amen. They kind of looked at me cross-eyed, you know. He's preaching in a colored shirt. Hello, is anybody here? Amen. Now, it's pretty common. Amen. Doesn't matter whether you have a white shirt or a colored shirt. Amen. Flowers on your blouses or white, plain white blouses. God doesn't care whether it's got flowers on it or plain white. What God wants is for it to be decent. Somebody say amen. God wants it, the body to be covered. I'm gonna preach to y'all. Y'all can stay with me as long as you can. Amen. But even some of these things that I have mentioned to you tonight, amen, in and of themselves is totally harmless. Nothing wrong with it. You cannot bring any scripture against it at all. Amen. Unless it is done in excess and keeps you out of the house of God and keeps you away from the altar and keeps you out of spiritual things. I lost y'all right there. Praise God. You got off of my bandwagon. Amen. There's nothing wrong with playing a game of checkers. I don't think. Amen. I used to play checkers and Chinese checkers and chess. I love to play chess. I haven't played in several years. I played this past spring when took the boys on senior trip. Amen. They took a chess board with them. I played a game or two with them, and they're getting pretty good. I beat them one game. They beat me one game. Amen. So turnabout's fair play, but it's been years since I played. But, you see, when I was younger, amen, I became so obsessed with playing chess that I couldn't do anything else. I'd play one game for 8 hours, never get up, don't even stop to eat, didn't stop to pray. Amen. Late for church because I had to finish this game. I lost y'all. Hallelujah. You see, then that innocent game in and of itself is no harm or wrong, but I have made it wrong. Because it became an obsession to me. Amen. Where does a trend or a fad lead? What direction is it going in? Does it tend to make you less God-conscious? What is the end result out there? I preached to you Sunday morning about veering off course. Not much. Just half a degree. Amen. But when it gets down the road, you're hundreds of miles off course, because flight 007 is the example I used Sunday morning. It's not what that thing is in and of itself, but it's the tendency that is pulling you toward. And can you say, enough is enough? I'll stop right there. Come on here. Amen. Do you have the ability to say, I'll not allow that to hinder me from prayer, my prayer life, or my reading of God's word, or my spiritual desires and needs of my life? Amen. Does it tend to make you less God conscious? Amen. What is that end result? Look further down the road. Have some foresight to where this tendency is going to wind up and end. Amen. Amen. Who started? Here's a good question to answer. Who started this trend? Who started this fad? That's a good question to ask. And if you can determine who started or where it come from or the origin of it, most of the time you can determine whether it's going to add to your spiritual life or whether it's neutral or whether it has a tendency to take you away from what's, amen, good in your life and spiritual in your life. Amen. How is it going to affect your testimony? Amen. How is other people going to perceive you? Amen. By going in this direction, or following this trend, or following this fad. Amen. Or yielding to this thing that is so, it's popular now. Amen. Now, here's something that's difficult for people to swallow. Paul said, if eating meat offends my brother, I'll not eat meat. He said, I can do without it. He said, I can eat a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff. Oh, Brother Savage. It depends upon what influence, amen, it has on other people as to your spiritual walk with God. There's nothing more important, amen. The one man said, what you do speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. Amen. You can say you're a Christian. You can say you can go to church. But, amen, the tendency in your life is always in the worldly direction. Amen. It always leans that direction. Amen. I was talking to some dear preacher friends of mine some time ago now, and we were discussing problems in churches, just churches in general. Amen. And I said this. Amen. And it is still true. There are people that have a tendency to be worldly minded. And anytime there's an issue that comes up in the church on how people ought to live, they will always fall to the liberal side. I lost y'all right there. Amen. Paul said, if eating meat offends my brother, I can do without eating meat. There's a lot of things I can eat without eating meat. If that is an offense. Now, Paul ate meat. Don't you misunderstand what Paul's saying. He said, I do eat meat. And he gave us the way to pray over our food. Amen. Whether it's meat or whatever. Amen. He gave us instructions on that. Amen. But he said, if that is an offense, I can live without that. My influence as a Christian is more important to me. Amen. My influence as a child of God is more important to me, amen, than eating meat. I know that is a far-fetched idea these days. But I want to tell you, amen, how come that we lose all sensibility, amen, when there's a worldly trend, a worldly tendency that we like or we enjoy, amen, that we want it.
I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what the Bible says. I don't care what anybody says. Amen. And before long, you lose what spiritual influence you have. Amen. Totally ignoring instructions and godly preaching is very costly. I know as much as the preacher does. Really? Did you know that's what Miriam said? Numbers chapter 12. Go read it. She said that God just talked to Moses. Is he the only prophet? She wound up with leprosy. Amen. And Moses had to intercede to God for her. Amen. Remember the sons of Korah? Amen. In Numbers chapter 16. Does God just speak? Does God just speak to Moses? He thinks he's the only prophet around here. We're just as spiritual as he is. We're Levites too. You know what happened to the sons of Korah? The earth opened up, swallowed them whole. Amen, alive. And they wound up in the eternity lost. And God thundered out of the heavens. Are y'all still with me? Amen. We have a generation on our hands that do not want to listen to instructions. They don't want to be told what to do. And they certainly don't want to be told what not to do. The Bible has a term. Amen. Let me see what that clock says back there. Amen. Well, oh yeah, I got two more hours. The Bible has a term in the process of time. Amen. And can I say to you tonight that fads and trends or tendencies are detrimental. Amen. They take a long time to be able to discern what direction they're going in. And the devil's got plenty of time. Amen. I heard a preacher say the other day, and I didn't think too much about it until I really thought of it, and then I remembered some prime examples. He said, the devil sets a trap for you 5 years down the road before you ever get there. Yeah. Yes, sir. I've seen it happen. I wondered about it when I heard the preacher say that, but it's true. The devil knows what your tendencies are. Amen. The devil knows, are y'all still here, what attracts your mind. What attracts your thoughts, where, amen, the appeal is, what it would take to get you sidetracked, amen. And he works on that long ways down the road. And if you're not really committed and dedicated to God, amen. Ladies, listen to me. If you're not really sold out to God with a, amen, with your whole heart sanctified, the devil has a man down the road, amen, maybe 5 years from now, amen, but he's planting him in your life. Somewhere you'll meet up with him, and there will be an instant attraction. And same way on the other side, amen, sir, amen, the devil knows if you have a tendency toward a pretty lady or a rich lady. Amen. Or are y'all still with me? Or an attraction. The devil sets up a roadblock way down the road. And he will lead, amen, a tendency to where at that time you will be more unspiritual because you have veered off course just a little bit and you're not prayerful as you should have been and have been, and your mind is more natural and carnal. And because of that, are y'all still here with me? Amen. That temptation will become a snare to you and a trap laid by the devil. Amen. I said to a dear friend of mine many years ago now, it's before I ever come here to pastor. Matter of fact, I was still in Texas at the time. And I said to him, amen, I said, if a man will tell a lie, given the right set of circumstances, he'll commit adultery. Hello. Now you think about that. When I said that to this dear brother, and I'm not going to call his name because most of you here would know him, he said, I don't believe that. I said, okay, don't matter. I said, but you watch. Keep your eyes open and see if it's not true. 10 years passed. He came to me one day, and we are good friends. We were good friends then. We're still good friends. Amen. And he said to me, Brother Savage, you were right. I've seen it happen. More than just one or two occasions. Because the same devil that puts the lie in your heart puts immorality in your heart. And all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire that burneth with brimstone. Oh, Brother Samuel, I'd never do it. You don't know what you do. Whoever you yield your members to obey, his servants you are. Amen, amen, amen. So in the process of time, just veering off course, just a fraction of a degree, amen. And that thing that seems so innocent, amen, eventually shows up where its direction is, and it is so far from where your spiritual walk with God would have led you that you don't even realize that you're there until it's too late. A gradual, slow decline. Amen. A gradual, slow off course. Amen. I remember reading the story years ago now about Mont Blanc over in the other part of the world across the ocean. Great big mountain, iceberg on top of it. I mean, it's a tremendous mountain, and mountain climbers would be challenged by that. A huge mountain as it was, and they climbed it, and they climbed it, and they climbed it. And there was several men, I forget now, it seemed like to me, best I recall, is five men that had took their pickaxes and shovels and ropes and all their gear, and they climbed that mountain. Amen. And, of course, they had the first man up the side of the cliff had a rope tied around him that went to the next one, and then the next one, and then the next one, until all of them were tied together. They got to the summit, amen, and it's a huge mountain, Mont Blanc, and they started down the backside, and it was such a gradual decline. You hardly noticed it, but it was slippery. Ice covered, amen, and very slippery. So they started, they spent a little time on top, rested a while, and then they started down that slippery slope and going down such just barely declined, amen. And they started down it, and they still had the ropes tied to each other. One slipped, then the other one, the others could catch him. Amen. And going down the backside of that mount, amen, the first one lost his footing. Amen. And before he could get a hold of his pickaxe, he'd done slid on that ice. Amen. And when he reached the end of the slack of that rope, it jerked the second man. And the second man slid. And it jerked the third man. If I remember the story right, it was five men, amen, that slid down the side of that cliff. Amen. It was almost a joyful ride for a while. It just barely declined, just a gradual decline. Amen. And one or two of them survived, though crippled greatly. And then they said it was fun, really, when we started sliding. It was like, amen, we were when we were boys ice skating and fall down and just, amen, having a big time. But he said after a while, the slope got steeper and steeper until after a while, all five of us slid off a cliff. Amen. Killed, I think, if I remember right, it killed two of them, maybe three. Amen. The others were left very crippled up. And that's the way the spiritual life is. If you don't keep sure footing and keep direction right in your life, some of these tendencies and trends will lead you off course from God. And you'll wonder, how did I get this far away from everything that is good and spiritual? You take and isolate that one thing by itself, and it's not so bad at all. Matter of fact, it's fun. But you couple that with all the rest of it, and the more you go in that direction, the less tendency you have for spiritual things, and the less tendency you have for church, and the less tendency you have to pray. Is anybody here? Amen. You remember this one thing. What parents do in moderation, children will do in excess. Amen. We have a generation now that has become so gaudy with jewelry. I wonder how in the world we got here. I remember, and some of y'all do too, when you were growing up, just good, more people didn't have all that jewelry on. Didn't have any. Brother Savage, now I know where you're going with this. Good. Well, I'm glad you are up with me. Amen. The Egyptians are the ones who wore so much jewelry. Amen. Amen. Gaudy. And so it is with our generation today in the church world. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Then a little more. And then a little more. Amen. Just add on. And help me here. Y'all still with me? If you have very little foresight, or even no foresight as to how far it will lead you away from God, read the Bible. Read the Bible in the Old Testament and see, amen, the children of Israel, every time they backslid and went away from God, they decked themselves out with all kinds of the jewelry, amen, of the people that were around them. Go check it out. Read it. Amen. Some fashions are harmless, but others are leading on a downward trend. Amen. Shorter and shorter the hemline gets. And lower the neckline gets. Come on here. Amen. And the split tail skirts, amen, tend to expose or entice a glance. Now, I want to tell you, I'm right there, so I'm gonna deal with this. Sis Savage has got some material, amen, of where that stuff started from. And the sociologist, amen, that wrote on that issue, amen, they said this: it is an open door that invites a glance.
Hello. I'm reminded of the years ago I read this story. I think it was in Reader's Digest or one of the more common decent magazines. I think it's Reader's Digest. This movie producer, this has been many years ago now. I mean, nowadays they have no morals. They don't care. They don't even wear no clothes sometimes. But many years ago, this producer married this beautiful girl, beautiful lady. And she was decent looking, dressed good. And they got married, and she come on the set one day, stage where they were shooting a film, and she had on, that's when the miniskirts first come out. Y'all remember the miniskirts way back when they first came out. She come on with a miniskirt. And he sent her back home. He said, "Don't come on this set dressed like that. It's too indecent. I don't want everybody gazing at my wife." Lost some of y'all there. Amen. So she went back. She had her personal seamstress to make her a long dress just like that one, except a long one. And every day she come on the set, paraded in front of him, and showed him how she was dressed. But every day, she had her seamstress to take up 1 inch of the hemline. Every day, she marched in front of the set. Her husband never noticed. Such a gradual change. I lost some of you. Such a gradual change. He never noticed. Just 1 inch or half inch, whatever it was. I think it's 1 inch. Might have been a half inch. And she paraded in front of him every day. He never paid much attention until she had the hemline back to where it was when he sent her home. And he never noticed. And I fear that in the church world, we are making such gradual changes in following the fads of this world that's leading us in the wrong direction until we are not even noticing, amen, how far we are getting away from spiritual things at all. And sometimes, boy, oh boy, you wouldn't do that at all. Never. Couldn't pay you enough money. But you'll dress your children like that. You wouldn't go to the movie house. Come here, Johnny. How much money do you need to go out tonight? $20? And you paid the way. Help me here. I'm talking to you tonight about trends and fads and tendencies that leads us. And it's such a gradual change in the church that you don't even notice the change in the church for two generations. Two generations. Somebody say amen. I've never, in all of my life, I'm 68 years old, 69 the next birthday. I think 69 comes after 68. I've never seen such lewd clothing as what people are dressing now. Amen. Really? I mean, it's disgraceful to morality. And I will assure you, you mark this down, put this down on your calendar.
if there's not a revival and a change in our American culture, give us 5 years, women will be going topless on the streets of our towns. We are heading that away. And such a gradual decline. Boy, am I doing all right? Amen. I don't believe in fanaticism at all. I really don't. Amen. But I want to tell you, I do believe in holiness. Holiness of conduct. Holiness of attitude. Holiness of dress. I don't think you have to be so foolish. Amen. To be so straight-laced that nobody can live it. But I want to tell you, we're living in a generation now. The pressure is on until, amen. Are y'all still with me? You are going to give your heart more to God, amen, and more prayer, or else you are going to succumb to the fads and the trends and the fashion of this world, and you too. Praise God. You know, we are controlled by things. There was a time they told us we are to control things. But now things control us. Amen. You need to be very careful. I know, I understand. The computer is here to stay. And in the workplace, you've got to understand and know how to work on a computer. Are y'all still with me? We teach it here at the school. But if you don't keep that thing controlled, hello here, there's enough trash out there to pollute the minds of not just our children and young people, but some of these old gray-headed people are becoming so seduced, amen, by chat rooms, amen, that they have left their companion and their children and their grandchildren and gone out to some old die of the devil and of the world and wind up in back skid row, amen, because they didn't keep a check on things that was leading in the wrong direction. Somebody say amen. Help me here. Amen. This generation, I'm going to close here for long, maybe. Amen. This generation knows hardly nothing about the word endure. The Bible said endure hardness as a good soldier. There's some things in life you just have to endure. There's some situations that is in your life that you can't change it. Come on here. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Endure means to carry through despite hardships. To suffer patiently without giving up. Amen. Amen. But that word means so little to this present generation. We got a generation in America now, and it's not just all young people, saints of God. It's some older folks, too, that know better. But we have a generation of quitters. Amen. Amen. They quit their spouse. They quit their job. Amen. They quit their families. They quit their God. They quit the church. Amen. Amen. Paul said, endure hardness as a good soldier. Amen. There's some things you cannot change in your life. You just have to learn to stay with it and endure it. And that does not mean you have to enjoy it. There's some hardships in life that are just the way it is. It's a hardship. Come on, somebody say amen. I read this article the other day, and it so stirred my heart. Amen. One survey says the divorce rate is higher among evangelicals than in the secular world. My God, have mercy on us. Amen. You know why? The article said, due to human discontent. Amen. They're not content in the condition they're in. They want something else. Amen. Amen. As the frustration mounts in a marriage. Amen. Each spouse builds up walls. Amen. This is what the article said. Amen. And one mate doesn't want to seek God for the grace and contentment. Amen. Through the trial. And the marriage has no chance of being healed. Amen. If somebody doesn't turn to God. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, well, I just can't handle it anymore. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Does anybody listen and say amen? Amen. This article that I was reading, amen, gave some illustrations about people that they had talked to and tried to help them. Amen. And one of them said, we just don't understand each other anymore. I'm going to hunt for somebody that will love me and will understand me and show compassion to me. Amen. God doesn't want this kind of life for me. I think God wants me to enjoy living. And so they split the blanket. And the first thing you know, the article said, 5 miles down the road or 5 years down the road, amen, they become discontent with the second one. And then discontent with the third one. And then discontent in life itself. Now, I want to tell you, life does not always give us pleasant things. There's some things we have to endure. Help me here. One fellow said the current situation may become hell on earth, draining you of every tear in your eyes. But if you will remain faithful unto the end, if you will honor God's word, believing him for the ability to endure in this time, he'll change you dramatically into a really spiritual person. But if you jump the traces and get out of God's will and God's purpose, you see, God allows some things to come your way. Amen. Are y'all still with me? To get you to see you are not perfect yourself and you need some working on. Amen. I said, you need some work. One man, amen, he wanted his marriage to be restored. He really did. He really sought after it. His marriage had been torn to pieces. Amen. And they were split apart, and he wanted his marriage restored. And so he began to pursue his wife again, began to court her just like he did the first time. You ever tried that, fellas? Amen. Might be surprised. I mean, you want to give your wife a heart attack? Call her up and say, let's go on a date tonight. She'd probably pass out right there. Marcia's waiting on that call. Yeah. Amen. And this guy... Amen. He wanted his marriage to be restored so bad. He said, I don't care what I have to do. Amen. I'm going to work at it until we get it back together. And he did. And he succeeded. He courted her. He took her out. He told her how much he loved her. Amen. And he took her on dates and showered her with affection and compassion and his love and his, amen, everything just like it did when it got married. Are y'all still with me? Amen. I want to tell you, it works. But we are a generation that does not want to endure because we are discontent and we want this generation. In this generation in American culture, it's acceptable. It's acceptable. I said this the other day. As much as I appreciate and Ronald Reagan as president, he was the first president in American history that was divorced and remarried. How many of them running for president now is divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried? One of them 3 times. It's accepted in society. Can't get along. Incompatible. This can't get along. I don't expect you to go through this. You think that's right? That's what they say. But I want to tell you, God's word is still right. God's word is still right. We have to endure hardness. We endure some things in life. I want to tell you. Amen. The job you work on probably ain't the best job in the world. You wish you had another one. I don't know. You may be happy at where you're working. But be sure. Come on here. Be sure you're in the will of God. Amen. The grocery store where you go buy groceries. You may get, I tell you what, I hate to go to Walmart. My wife loves Walmart. And for me to go to Walmart, Marty, is enduring. But sometime I endure. Because I love her. Life has a way of bringing some difficult times to our way. It's not all honky-dory.
Whatever that means.
It's not all pleasant. There's some sad times.
I started to say there's some mad times, but it shouldn't be that bad.
Amen. But there are times when your marriage vows are strained. There are times when your love for God is strained because you don't understand why you are where you are and why God allows this to come my way.
Children sing a song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be.
Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars. What's the rest of it? Sun and the moon. Yeah. How long has it taken him to work on you? And our attitude. I thought I was going to quit. Our attitude leads us away from God many times, many more times than what we want to acknowledge. Nasty, ugly.
Kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. You bite my head off, I'll bite your nose off.
Get back attitude. Revenge. that attitude is leading you away from God. And I said this before. Whoo, help Lord. Man, I won't have nobody here Sunday morning. I've said this before, and I'll say it again this evening. Your attitude has everything to do with your walk with God. Everything. And moodiness is an open door to the powers of darkness to work their will in your life. It's dangerous. Huh? Hallelujah. Well, trends and fads. You've had it tonight. You probably won't get it again for 10 years. Praise the Lord. And you're probably saying, amen. Thank the Lord for that. But I want to tell you, we are living in dangerous times in the church world in America right now. And these little foxes that spoils the vine and these trends that lead us away from God and everything that's right and spiritual in and of themselves are harmless, but they never stay harmless. Father, we thank you tonight for your mercy and your goodness.